Last time, we heard about St. Francis de Sales teaching us, you know, about the up and down in the spiritual life. He talked about that, you know, evil will cause sadness, but sadness can result in anxiety if we have too much an eager desire to get rid of something bad, or to get rid of our sadness, or if we have too eager to do something good, then, you know, it's so easy to get into anxiety. But the irony is that anxiety itself is something that will actually get you into more evil easily. It's also a big hindrance of doing anything good. And so it's important that when we feel anxious, we leave the thing alone. We don't, you know, think too much about it, if possible, until we are calm, and until we calm down, until we are more peaceful, then we can slowly and surely, step by step, to achieve what needs to be done. And then St. Francis also mentioned about sadness, that when the devil wants us to do from something sinful, he wants us to feel delight, but when he wants us to avoid doing something good, then he caused us to have sadness. So in time of sadness, we shouldn't change what we have been doing, but continue to do what we ought to do, or even do better and more. And then we also mentioned about consolation and desolation. Spiritual consolation doesn't mean holiness. It's something given to us by God to encourage us. But also there can be counterfeits of spiritual consolation. If we find that the consolation leads us to God, focus on God, make us more humble and obedient and diligent, then it's from God. But if the consolation makes us more self-focused, arrogant, and harsh, then it's not from God. But when we have consolation, we should give thanks to God, not to be proud, but give thanks to God. Not to say how good I am, but to say how good God is. And then desolation, if there is desolation, we should examine our conscience to see, are we the cause of spiritual desolation or spiritual dryness? So we can examine, have we been too proud when we have spiritual consolation? Or have I been lazy of not doing what I ought to do in the spiritual life to lay up treasures for the eternal life? Or have I immersed myself too much into worldly pleasure? Or have I been insincere in confession and in spiritual direction? However, if we cannot discover the reason for spiritual dryness, then it's important to leave ourselves and trust ourselves to God, pray to God, but also let Him be the one in charge, and trust ourselves to divine providence, not to be too eager to be delivered from spiritual dryness, so not to cause anxiety in our spiritual life, but do our best and leave the rest in the hands of God. That's basically the part four of the introduction. And finally, part five is to wrap things up for the whole book, is about the spiritual exercise to renew our soul, to strengthen our devotion. One of the things that is a practice for us priests, you know, maybe sometimes I do have to admit that I don't attend those functions as good as I should be. Usually, you know, there is every month there is a day of recollection, and so the priests can be together and pray and have adoration and have some talks given to us. But another one will be the annual retreat. You know, 1 week we are away for the retreat, usually in May. So it's St. Francis de Sales recommend that people do have time to renew their own resolution, to recharge their spiritual life. And so so resolution is a good place to renew resolution will be in the annual retreat and also a day of recollection. So if there's a day of the month that is specially dedicated to spiritual exercise, will be a good way to renew our resolution. So, you know, sometimes if we start singing in a high tone, we can fail, and then we have to go up again to the right tone. And then also sometimes, you know, so basically, St. Francis talking about our frailty, evil tendency of the flesh, you know, they can drag the soul down unless it constantly rise up by means of resolution. So a bird would speedily fall to the ground if it did not maintain its flight by repeated strokes of its wings. So we have to keep on flying, you know, have the resolution. So basically, the three resolutions that he asked us to renew from time to time are: the first is to forsake, reject, detest, and forever renounce all mortal sins. So that's the first resolution, to get rid of all mortal sin, resolve to do that. Second, to dedicate and consecrate your soul, heart, and body with everything pertaining thereto to the service and love of God. So the second resolution, dedicate ourselves to God. Third, if you should unhappily fall into any sin, you would forthwith rise up again with the help of God's grace. A bit like what I preached last Sunday at Mass, you know, last Sunday at Mass I compare, you know, Peter, Paul, and Judas. You know, Peter sins out of weakness, Paul sinned out of ignorance, but Judas sins out of ill will. And oftentimes it can happen to people when they fall into sin, they thought, oh, I have one sin already, have to go to confession anyway, so I just keep on doing more sin. But that becomes ill will. That's worse than sins of weakness or sins of ignorance. You know, like St. Peter, it sins out of weakness, even though it can be a mortal sin, if a person get up immediately like St. Peter, forgiven, then it's not much harm done to the soul. But if it sins out of ill will, even though a person might make good confession, the harm done for the soul is there. It will be more time in the future in purgatory for sure, but also the soul is much more easy to fall into the same sin again, because you know the soul is being wounded. So a sin's forgiven, but you know sins do have consequences. We have to avoid the sins of ill will. And of course, a good thing to avoid that would be whenever we sin, get up immediately. You know, sometimes out of self-love, people can linger and they think, oh, I'm so miserable. You know, they just keep on miserable. They're doing some more bad thing. But it's important that whenever they sin, don't linger on the sin. You know, just get up and move on. That's important. Now, and of course, renew resolution is one thing. Another thing that we have to do, you know, from time to time is to examine ourselves. Again, retreat is a good time to do that. So we have to examine our state of the soul towards God, so think about our attitude towards the commandments, venial sin, spiritual exercise, our affection towards God. Is that strong, or it has something in between me and God, some creature there that prevents me to loving God with my whole heart? And then condition regarding to oneself, our nature of love for self, it is whether we have boast ourselves or have indulged in recreation, we can injure our health. So we have to see what kind of thing that we are doing. And then conduct towards our neighbor, and so whether we love them from our heart for the love of God, whether we are quick to speak ill of others, and whether we have injured others directly or indirectly. And finally, regarding our own passions, feelings, and affections. So what attachment hinder our spiritual life? Which passions engross it? And what chiefly attract us? So it's really important to think about what is my heart tending or leaning toward. And it's important for us not to be carried away by our passion, emotion, and affection, to be away from God. So it's important that we examine. So If we find that we have any progress being made, then we have to be thankful. But when we find that we have any shortcoming, then we need to be humble and ask the Lord forgiveness and help us to be faithful in the future. And St. Francis also, you know, remind us that we have to make some reflection on our spiritual life or on spiritual reality, you know, to think about the excellence of the soul, that we can be like the angels, able to know divine truth, able to will and love. We have to think about the excellence of virtue, that they can only bring us, you know, the only true joy we can on earth. You know, lasting joy is to really practice virtues in our lives, especially to practice theological virtues united with God. Think about the example of the saints, you know, meditate on their lives, their virtues, the sacrifice they make, the detachment from the world they have, and their chastity, and also their charity. And then also think about the love Jesus has for us, his suffering on earth, his heart loves and cares for each one of us, and also to think about the eternal love of God for us, that God loved us from eternity and prepared the favors and graces which he bestowed on us. So finally, St. Francis de Sales, at the end of the book, you know, he encouraged us to look to heaven. Do not lose it for earth. Look at hell and do not plumb therein for the sake of this passing life. Look at Jesus Christ and do not deny him for world's sake. Aim amid if the devout life sometimes seems hard and dull, join St. Francis' song. You know, the so vast the joys that I await, no earthly trifle seem great. So it's important for us to look up to heaven so that, you know, whatever sufferings here on earth cannot be compared to the joy of heaven. So that's how he ended the whole book. Now, one of the saints that have a great devotion to St. Francis, and he was canonized this year, is Pope St. John the 23rd. He had a great devotion to St. Francis de Sales, and he had St. Francis de Sales as his lifelong model. And so when he was a seminarian in the year 1903, in January, you know, a year before he was ordained a priest, he wrote about St. Francis de Sales, and he wrote, "Today was a perfect feast. I spent it in the company of St. Francis de Sales, my gentlest of saints. What a magnificent figure of a man, priest and bishop. If I were like him, I would not mind even if they were to make me pope." I don't know how you know about that, but it will happen. "I love to let my thoughts dwell on him, on his goodness, and on his teaching. I have read his life so many times. His counsels are so acceptable to my heart. By the light of his example, I feel more inclined towards humility, gentleness, and calm. My life, so the Lord tells me, must be a perfect copy of that of St. Francis de Sales if I wish to it to bear good fruit. Nothing extraordinary in me or in my behavior, except my way of doing ordinary things. All ordinary things, but done in no ordinary way. A burning love for Jesus Christ and his church, unalterable serenity of mind, wonderful gentleness with my fellow men. That is all." So the quotation is taken from this book called The Journal of a Soul. That's why we know quite a bit about the interior life, what is inside the heart of Pope St. John the 23rd. Because start when he was in seminary, he was born in the year 1881 on November 25th. And then at the young age of 7, in the year 1888, the year St. John Bosco died, he received his first Holy Communion. It was unusual at that time for people to receive communion that early. In those days, usually you receive communion at the age of 11. So to receive at 7 is exceptional at that time. And then in the year 1892, that when he was 11 to 1895, until he was around 14, he was in the minor seminary. The minor seminary is like a high school for people who might be thinking about to be priests. And then finally, in the year 1895 to the year 1900, he was in a seminary, in a major seminary. So he started a Journal of the Soul in the year 1896 when he was a seminarian in the major seminary. And the last entry was in 1962, a few months before he died. You know, he died on June 3rd, 1963. So basically, a lot of his information here is spiritual diary. So basically, a lot of things is about his spiritual insights and things like that. It's not quite like a biography. You know, this is not an autobiography. It is a spiritual like when he do a spiritual retreat, when he have recollection, you know, then he'd write down whatever insight that came to his mind, and so that's kind of spiritual diary. So if you're thinking about, you look at this book, you can look at like a biography, autobiography, you will be disappointed, because you will find that a lot of it seems to be a thought here and there about this subject, about that subject. It's a bit like The Diary of St. Faustina, if you have read that one, The Divine Mercy. You know, it's not like her autobiography, but a lot of spiritual insight. And of course, for St. Faustina, you know, her revelation from Jesus, you know, that she wrote down the word of Jesus given to her. So it basically here and there, all kinds of different information. So that's one thing you have to remind ourselves of that. So before he died, you know, he told his secretary, "My soul is in these pages. You may publish them after my death. They will do some good to souls who feel drawn toward the priesthood and the more intimate union with God." Now, when he was in the major seminary, he do make some resolution, during spiritual exercises. So, for example, he wrote, "I resolve and promise never to approach the Holy Sacrament out of mere habit or with indifference, and never to spend less than a quarter of an hour in my preparation." I think that's good for all of us, that before we go for confession or go to Mass, receive communion, we do spend time beforehand to prepare, so that we do not approach the holiest in a routine manner. That we always well prepare to receive the sacrament. And then he wrote, "My sole object in studying will be to work for the greater glory of God, the honor of the church, the salvation of souls, and not for my own honor, not in order to be cleverer than all the others, and I will always remind myself that God will ask me to render an account of that talent also which I have wasted in merely acquiring glory for myself." So, you know, in seminary, one of the things you have to do is to study philosophy and theology. So he also make the resolution to study only for the glory of God, for the good of souls, not for his own vain glory. And then he also make a promise, "I promise and vow to Our Lady, who will always be my dearest mother, to guard myself most scrupulously, as far as lies in my power, from any thought or act to which I may give consent, which may cast so much a shadow over the heavenly virtue of holy purity." So he also a really pure man, you know, avoid whatever occasion, you know, that can cause him into sin. And then he also wrote, "I will so behave that all my doings may be in accordance with the often repeated maxim of St. Ignatius Loyola, to the greater glory of God." So, one of the things is good to know is that now in the old days in his seminary, a few centuries ago, they have students that are in the seminary studying to be priests, seminarian. But also they have people from the outside world who may come to the seminary to attend classes. And the seminary was influenced by the Jesuit as well, okay? So at that time, you know, in the seminary, they feel the need for the seminarian to really have a kind of rule or good influence from good seminarian who can keep up the spirit of the seminary so that they would not become too worldly, basically, to help them to avoid being worldly. So they have, in the seminary, they have a tradition that the spiritual director, if they notice a student is really good, really exceptional, really good student, then the spiritual director will secretly tell him or pass on to him a little rules, the little rules. You know, they have different, they have the rules, and they would all belong to a confraternity or solidarity of the Annunciation of Mary Immaculate. So the seminarians, they keep the rules, they belong to a community. And they are basically, they are quite secret. They won't know who, people won't know who are the members. They don't, people don't know the contents of the little rules. Eventually, that system didn't survive because, you know, some people, they broke the secret, telling the people who are the members and stuff like that. So the system didn't survive in the later on. And today in the book of the Journal of the Soul, they also have an appendix that they also basically have the little rules on the appendix, because Pope John the 23rd himself, when he got the little rule as a seminarian, actually he got into the major seminary almost immediately. He got the little rules already, so he was a pretty good student. And so he actually with his writing, he wrote down all the little rules by hand. He wrote down the little rules by hand. And so, you know, after he died, you know, he kept the little rules with him even as Pope. So he continued to observe the thing in the little rules to the best of his capacity even as Pope. And so because it's his, in his handwriting, so after he died, of course, you know, that become public knowledge, and so they also put them into the appendix. So the little rules have quite a lot of details. So, you know, they have spiritual exercise for every day. For example, meditate for at least a quarter of an hour. Attend or better serve Holy Mass. With some spiritual book, the book being The Life of a Saint, or at least a treatise on spiritual subjects. Pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament and at the same time visit some altar dedicated to Our Lady. Read some passage from the devout Thomas A Kempis in Latin. Do you know which book is written by Thomas A Kempis? What is the book? Who can tell me? Yeah? The Imitation of Christ. So every day now, you know, even today in the monastery in the Abbey, at lunchtime, you know, usually they have table reading in the monastery, and they will still read a little passage from the Imitation every day. That's still a standard practice in the monastery in the Abbey. Number six, never omit your general examination of conscience in the evening with proper repentance. And then make your particular examination. General examination is you reveal all your sin, okay? Particular is you focus on a particular virtues or particular vice that you want to correct or to practice. Accustom yourself to raising your thought to God with devout invocations. The chief of these will be, Thy will, O Lord, be done. My Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. And finally, number 9, say 5 decades of the rosary and some part of the office of Our Lady. So that's their daily exercise. And then every week, be diligent in attending the meetings of the solidarity and the study circle. So they have meetings, secret meetings, you know, in the seminary. Every week, go to confession and communion as your spiritual director advises. Remember, in those days, people go to communion once a week. It's considered frequent, you know. So people would go to confession first and then go to communion every week. Fast on Fridays and Saturdays in honor of the Passion of Jesus Christ and of Our Lady. At times, join some good companions in speaking of spiritual things and share with one another that good thought that will make you hate vice and love virtue. So every week they are asked to do that. And then every month, set aside one day to prepare yourself for a good death, and on this day examine yourself more closely concerning the correction of your own fault and concerning virtues and your observance of these little rules. Now the solution, you know, in the boarding school and also for the Salesian priest and brother, founded by St. John Bosco, they have a practice like that. Every month, they have a prayer to pray for the one who will die first. And so they call that in preparation for death. So they do the exercise every month as a community. In our prayer group, you know, the Sunday group is the longest. In the past, I did that with the Chinese group. Once a month, we have that. In our prayer meeting. In the past, we meet every week. So once a month, we do that in our prayer meeting. Yeah. Nowadays, I change the prayer a bit because I want to do the Divine Mercy as well. So we somehow don't include all the things I did in the past, you know. So, in the past, I do that in the prayer group too. So, and then once a month, read these little rules several times, and it will be well to do this in the company of others so as to check your observance of them. Always confide trustfully in your spiritual director and be guided by his advice in all this. So once a month, they also expect not only to go to, they also go to spiritual direction to see their spiritual director. Every year, always prepare for the principal solemn feast with fervent prayer from the beginning, respective novenas. It will be well to join with others and decide what you are to do. For this, always consult your own spiritual director. So all the major feast days, they have 9 days of prayer beforehand, novena. So they will do something special on those 9 days and they say special prayer. Make the novenas, 9-day prayers, the most important of which will be those before Pentecost, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Christmas, the principal feast of Our Lady, and those of your guardian angel and of Saint Joseph. And then every year before leaving the seminary for the holidays, confer with your spiritual director about how best to spend them well in the Lord. And every year make your spiritual exercises and your annual confession. So the annual confession for them will be more like a general confession that they will repeat the confession of the last past year or even before that. So that's called general confession. And so then they have a whole list of things that they propose people to do at all times, you know. So they say, you know, correct one another's faults and let him who is corrected say 3 Hail Marys for his corrector. And then each must choose a corrector from among his companions. So among the men, but they will pick one to always correct him. And then they also say evil companions must be shunned like vipers, especially those who criticize virtue, good men and good example, subjecting them to ridicule. So they want to avoid the bad influence. Be very much on your guard against human respect. Human respect means you do things that you consider too much what other people might think or say about you, okay? So they say, be very much on your guard against human respect. Do not refrain from doing good or indulge in evil because of any human respect or consideration. No books must be read that have the slightest tinge of immodesty. In fact, before reading any book, be sure that it is approved by your director, especially if it is a book of poetry. To guard the virtue of purity, you must have a great love for Mary Most Holy, and in her honor say 3 Hail Marys for yourself and your companions, offering them to her and begging her for this virtue. And then they also have a special honor of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. Remember, the rule was influenced by the Jesuit. And St. Ignatius Gonzaga, is a young saint of the Jesuit order. His feast day is on June 21st. And then also, you know, your chief devotion will be for the Blessed Sacrament. Therefore, great recollection in church, especially when there is exposition, receive the Blessed Sacrament as often as you can with the best possible dispositions and devotion, and with prolonged thanksgiving. Visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament frequently, rejoicing to keep him company. And then they also have some pious practice for the month of May, you know, because they also emphasize the month of Mary, the month of May. And then they also have something on particular examination of conscience. And then they have rule again, similar rule, but it's more simple for holidays when they are away from seminary. What they do every day, every week, every month, at all times again. But it's a little bit like the one they have in seminary. But they will say something like, beware of idleness, you know, because, you know, the devil is, always work there with your idol. And then you say, have a right intention in all things. So they will have things like that. So, got an idea what the little rules is about. So that's the rule kept by John the 23rd. And then remember, he kept the rule basically as Pope later on, as Bishop and as Pope when he get older. You know, so sometimes, you know, people who the progressive people present, you know, John the 23rd as a liberal, you know, who liberate the church and, you know, make the church to be modernized, but they actually overlook that actually he was quite traditional in his mindset. You know, he was actually quite pious and prayerful and not the kind of John the 23rd that some people want to present him to be, you know. He's actually really, really faithful to the church in a spiritual tradition. Now, and then another thing, you know, that he was really, is something that I don't think any one of us would dare to make that promise, but he did it, is on in the year 1900, on February 27, the last day of the retreat. It was also a holy year, you know, because being the year of the, in the 20th century. So he made the solemn promise to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The promise is, he says, with all the solemnity and power this act of mine may have, always, today, and at all times, by the grace of God, to keep myself free from the slightest attachment to any voluntary venial sin. Basically, he made a solemn promise to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he would not commit any willful sin at all. Of course, we know that I taught you before, if we, by the grace of God, we can reduce willful sin to zero, both mortal and venial. But we cannot accept, by the special grace from God, to reduce the sins of weakness, which basically that venial sin, to zero. You know, and that's a special grace from God. So of course, in his promise, he didn't say, I won't sin at all. But he said, I will not commit any voluntary sin, even venial sin. No attachment to any voluntary venial sin. And then continue his prayer, he said, and since because of my weakness, I cannot guarantee in the future to keep this promise by my own unaided effort, I place it in the hands of the angelic youth, St. Aloysius Gonzaga. Yeah, St. Aloysius Loyola before. Aloysius Gonzaga is the one they honor. And then he especially asked St. Aloysius Gonzaga to really help him to keep that promise. So pretty big promise to make, to be detached from all venial sin, you know. Now, it's always good, you know, for us. You know, every one of us, you know, do have a little, a bit of a rule of life, you know, we need to be organized. We need to do something every day for our spiritual life. Of course, I don't think our rule will be extensive as little rules that they keep in the seminary. But I think we should have, you know, some basic thing that we want to do every day in prayer, you know. So, you know, one thing you can think about is we have the prayer we do at prayer meeting. Perhaps it's something you might consider to make it your own and do it every day. You might want, you know, I pray the 5 decades of the rosary every day, but also think about maybe, you know, in your situation, it might be easier for some that might do the 5 decades rosary not all at once, at least in the beginning, maybe to do a decade in the morning, couple decades in the afternoon, another couple decades of the rosary in the evening. Because your rosary is really free. You can separate them. You can pray 1 decade here, 1 there, or a couple decades there. You know, that's something you can consider. The Divine Mercy, take about 7 minutes, you know, and then people like to do that, especially around 3 o'clock, to remember the Passion of Christ. In the Philippines, in some, I don't know if they still do it, you know, sometimes on some radio and television and shopping mall, they will stop to pray the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock and then at 6 o'clock, you know, so that's a good practice, at 3 o'clock and then at 6 o'clock, you know, so I think you can do it easily, you know. Divine Mercy is a really simple prayer to do. And then the night prayer, you might have to look at the diocese website and actually got the night prayer from the liturgy of the hour, the night prayer, because there's a 1 week cycle, you know, from Sunday to Saturday. Every night is different. But you know, it's easy to get that from the internet, the night prayer that we are doing. So you know those are the 3 things. If you do that, they got the most free after the Mass, 3 of the most powerful type of prayer, you know, the liturgy of the hour, which is the official prayer of the church, the night prayer, you know, the liturgy of the hour actually together are 7 hours. The night prayer is a really simple one that lay people can pray that easily. The monks and the nuns, you know, and priests for us, you know, we can say all 7 hours easy for us, but not for lay people, right? But for lay people, I think the night prayer is a good way to start. And then rosary, you know, and then the Divine Mercy, you know. So if you do those 3 things combined, it will take you, you know, less than an hour. And if you can go to Mass on the weekday, you know, sometimes for some of you, maybe some of the retired people can go every day. Some maybe only go maybe on a Saturday, or perhaps an evening Mass when your church close by have an evening Mass, you know. So different people have different schedules. So some people they can do more frequent than the other. Of course, that really depends on your schedule. In Vancouver, I know it's more option, because in Vancouver, you know, they have Mass in the evening at St. Francis Xavier, at St. Mary on Wednesday and Friday, and I think on Thursday too. So it's a bit more easy to have an evening Mass. In Surrey, I know it's a bit more difficult. I don't see any, not too many church of evening Mass. I think some church of Tuesday Mass, like St. Matthew. Yeah. So you have to work around the schedule to see what might be working for you. But it's something that every one of us should have a rule of life for oneself, you know, that we do have some regular practice every day. And then, of course, you know, when we pray the act of consecration, we do give ourselves to the Immaculate Heart. And then the consecration itself can become a way of life. If you consecrate yourself to Our Lady, Saint Louis Marie de Montfort composed an act of consecration, and he actually have a whole book, you know, True Devotion to Mary, to teach people how to live out that consecration. Saint Maximilian Kolbe also composed an act of consecration, and he also wrote a rule for those consecrated to the Immaculate Virgin. And his rule is pretty simple. It's only 10 points. So I want to share, you know. And if you're interested, I can email you that, you know. So first rule, oh, that's a really high one. He wrote down, I must be a saint, a great saint. What's the rule? That's pretty high. So
Second, for the glory of God, I must save myself and all souls, present and future, through the Immaculate. So you give you that one and two, they give you the ideal. Want to be holy and want to save souls. Okay? Give you the ideal. Number three, before anything else, flee not only from mortal, but also from deliberate venial sin. A bit like the promise made by John the 23rd, right? So do not commit deliberate sin. Number four, do not permit A, that evil remain without reparation and destruction, or B, that good be without fruit or increase. So when you've done evil, or when you see evil, make reparation for the sin. If you see good, foster it. Five, let your rule be obedience to the will of God through the Immaculate. I am nothing but an instrument. So obey the will of God through Mary, basically. Number six, think of what you are doing. Do not be concerned about anything else, whether bad or good. So when you do something, focus on it, you know. Don't think about other things. Don't daydream. Number seven, preserve order, and order will preserve you. So that's why I say that, you know, plan your day every day, you know, have an order. And you have order in your day, order will preserve you. Peaceful and benevolent action. Number nine, so three words here. Preparation, action, conclusion. So I think when you do things, prepare, add, wrap it up, complete it. Number 10, remember that you belong exclusively, unconditionally, absolutely, irrevocably to the Immaculate. Whoever you are, whatever you have or can, whatever you do and endure, belong to the Immaculate. Consequently, may she dispose of them according to her will, in the same way it belongs to her or her intentions. Therefore, may she transform them at others, take them away as she likes. So basically, it's about have to give everything to our Blessed Lady, number 10. Now, another you can say a bit of a rule of life is that will be a bit in accordance with the consecration that we make at the end. You know, that the two Immaculate Hearts, you know, composed by Pius the 12th. Because, you know, the Blue Army is an organization of prayer that basically, you know, want to live out the message of Fatima. And so the members there, they make a promise to Our Lady to do four things. Okay, really simple. First, to offer up every day the sacrifices demanded by daily duty. Second, to pray the rosary daily while meditating on the mystery. That means to pray five decades of the rosary at least. Third, to wear the scapula of Mount Carmel as profession of this promise and as an act of consecration to Mary. And number four, to observe the first Saturday devotions. So those are the four promises they make, and they try to practice that, you know, the first three on a daily basis and the fourth one once a month to do a special first Saturday devotion. Today is the first Saturday of the month, by the way. So that's the simple promise of the Blue Army. So let's give you some idea. Anyhow, I put those together, you know, the rule of Saint Maximinian, and then his the act of consecration to Mary that he composed. When I was ordained a priest, you know, on May the 30th I was ordained. May 31st I did my first mass to honor Our Lady. At the end I make an act of consecration to Our Lady, and that's the formula I use, is the one of Saint Maximinian. And then the Blue Army pledge, you know, and then the Blue Army daily offering. So in the morning when you start your day, it's always good to say that prayer. You know, it's always good if you want to, or your rule of life, it's always good in the morning when you get up, say three Hail Marys and the morning offering, and then in the evening, pray the acts of contrition, examine your conscience, make the acts of contrition, and say three Hail Marys. You know,
So that's also a good way to be part of your rule of life, you know, the daily offering in the morning.